This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, I said it at the beginning of the program. I said, look, I can't sugarcoat it. I'm terrified about this evening. I had been confident in the Cats, you know, the Panthers, game six coming up tonight, Edmonton. But my confidence level's not great right now. So what I said was our theme today is Friendship Friday. And in particular, I said, look, all I do is lift my friends up. Just once, Dustin's handing out loser after loser. Just once, I need my friends to lift me up. I thought Eddie Olczyk was going to do it in the second segment. His phone didn't work. Eddie let me down. I haven't heard from Halterman. I don't know where he is. Probably over here, 110, laying a goal and a half, whatever he does. But I said, you know what? The one person on a Friendship Friday that I know I can rely on is Mike Somich, of course, host of The Handle. Noon to 3 Eastern time on Saturdays and Sundays, as Dustin mentioned, with Matt Brown. And we say hi to the veteran and host, Mike Somich. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Oh, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I'm not so sure I like the slander from the last segment, telling me I'm only watching right before I come on. I was here for Eddie Olczyk's interview where the phone cut out. By the way, his 7 did win that race for him. I was here for the top fives you guys have been talking about the entire day. I heard Dustin talk about Jacksonville. I heard him talk about the Jets. What are you guys possibly thinking there? I agree with you, both of you, on Philadelphia. I was sitting through the whole show. I was enjoying all of it. I just didn't want to ruin the rhythm because I thought you guys were having a very good show. I was even here for the Thomas Gable segment when he talked about how Dustin didn't get waxed a couple days ago on Palm versus the big guy. So I've been doing my part on this friendship side, but I got to say, it is a little rough because, you know, here on a Friday, when I'm off this weekend, I'm not going to be doing a show with Matt Brown. I'm here for you guys. I'm here on Friendship Friday coming through. And I got a text from Halterman wishing me a happy birthday yesterday. Two of my friends who I do a show with every day somehow forgot, and then are just lambasting me the following day. But how are you,
Dustin,
guys?
I think in the rap world, that's called we just got ethered. Because I don't really have a retort. I mean, first off, we missed his birthday. Secondly, he's been more part of the show than I have these last 2 hours. So, like, he's all in. And now I'm caught in the middle of Friendship Friday because I wanted to have your back. But now I think I'm going back to Somich.
This is what Drake feels like right now, right?
Yes, with Kendrick Lamar. That's correct.
I now understand the references because I think we just got ethered on our own show by Mike Somich. And look, this is a real conversation that happened 2 days ago on the phone with Patrick and myself. I want to point this out. Patrick says, I don't know anyone's birthday. I said, the only reason I know is because of Facebook. And he said, of course, that's the only reason anyone knows Facebook. And if Mike Somich was really my friend, we would be Facebook friends and I would have known yesterday was his birthday.
Yeah. Somich, that's a point for the big guy. That's a good comeback, Somich. Now it's back to you.
I will say that's totally fair. However, we did talk about it on The Handle last Sunday, right before your show. And if we're leading into your show and you're watching and paying attention, right, you would have known my birthday was on.
But everyone knows when you do the big show and the pregame show's going on, in the final moments when you talk about these things, we're prepping for the big show, knowing that the pregame show is going to be done with their little business.
Well, let's get the elephant. There's an elephant in the room. Dustin, you have a theory. It's time to lay it out.
I do? I don't remember what I said now.
Unbelievable.
I got it now.
I mean, I watched the whole show. I got it.
I got it. Hey, it's been a long day. I've been here since like 6 a.m.
Yeah, he hosted a numbers game.
It's been a long day. Did you catch me on a numbers game? A good friend would have woken up. No, I'm just kidding. Look, I think it's very clear what's happening because, like I said, I've watched The Handle. And on The Handle, I notice every week you and Matt Brown become buddier. You're playing golf together when it's 130 degrees outside. So I think you're forgetting who your friends are, and you've knocked us down a peg and replaced us with Matt Brown.
Yeah, see, I don't think that's fair. I think there's room for everybody in my friendship part here. And I'd like to remind you, Dustin, I did come to the cabana as well. The only time I've been invited out or we've been able to hang out, I've been there enjoying it. I love the milk carton. That's very nice, guys. Every time that we've done dinner together, we've made bets together, we've gone through all of this together. I've never said no to you. And you're the one who ditched me last Friday night. We were going to go to Legacy Club. I had to text you and be like, hey, buddy, what's up? And you're like, oh, sorry, already left, bro.
I would say, as a friend, you should know me, and you texted too late, if we're being fair.
Okay, so when we text before and you say, I'll let you know when I leave dinner, I'm then supposed to follow up with you for when you're leaving dinner?
Yeah, where are we at now? What's the ETA? I was busy, you know, entertaining people.
Well, I would say this. I was concerned, and great, it's great to see you, Mike. I was concerned earlier in the week because I hadn't heard from you. Weren't necessarily, I guess I would put it this way, eager in the group on Tuesday night. And then I think I woke up on Wednesday morning, and right at the top of the daily newsletter, which you can sign up for free over at VSiN.com, it's a great way to start your day, I see my good friend, Mike Somich, but Bill AD, man of mystery, prominently at the top of the newsletter with his bottom nine yes, no bets. And I thought to myself, oh, good, he's alive. So it was good to see you there, and I know you're writing a lot for VSiN, so great job.
Well, I appreciate the props there. Yeah, we wrote a nice article about different ways to attack money lines when they move, and the yes-no bottom ninth was one of those mentioned. We had a nice horse racing article out today. We'll have one out tomorrow as well, Patrick. Had an interesting win totals article out as well. Not sure if you caught that one last week. That was all about being able to use the win totals to help validate or kind of double back and look at power ratings, which you should be starting now if you want to really be ready for the football season. So I've been busy over there writing for VSiN, but I've always got time for you two. Always here on a Friday for you guys.
By the way, and Dustin, we'll have to talk about this after the show. You've let me down. This is a disaster. We walked right into a buzzsaw. We'll talk about it later. How about, all kidding aside, how about Eddie Olczyk? Like, that is people. I always try to tell people that there's a difference between sports bettors and horse bettors, because the grind never stops and again, I was caught up in it for years. It's fallen off a little bit for a multitude of reasons. But when we had Eddie Olczyk on, he's preparing for the Stanley Cup final tonight. He's literally on the broadcast and he's betting Aqueduct. Like, I know that made you feel good.
Oh, it was great. It was great. I didn't have the same horses. I had 6-7. He had 7-9, the 7-1. So at least we both got that home. But I did have the 6 to win on the VSiN article. Unfortunately, ended up running third in that spot. But I'm excited. I'm going to meet Eddie for the first time next weekend. I'm going to be out in Chicago hosting a horse racing tournament next weekend, next Sunday, specifically called the Hawthorne Invitational. And Eddie O actually won the tournament last year. So you have to be one of the top 60 handicappers get invited to this tournament at Hawthorne. Eddie got invited last year. Phenomenal video online of him cheering home. I think it was like a 52-53-1 shot that won the last race and won him the tournament. So I'm excited to meet Eddie O next week.
Yeah, he's the best dude ever. What are you hosting? What's the event? Tell us about it.
So Saturday we'll be hosting the handle just like normal. On Sunday we'll be hosting the Hawthorne Invitational from OTB in the Chicagoland area. Whoa. They get pull 60 people together, $2,500 entry. They've got a couple NHC seats available, a couple BCBC seats available, and then they offer $1 million bonus if you're able to win that tournament, as well as winning NHC the following year. It's a blast because the level of handicapping in that room is just absolutely phenomenal. So I'll be hosting a 4-hour live stream with a couple people over at Hawthorne from the OTB, and you can catch us on YouTube if you want to watch that on Hawthorne's channel. It'll also be on Racing Dude's YouTube channel as well. And Aaron Halterman actually will be going to play the tournament up at the Hawthorne OTB as well, so he'll be up there on Sunday too.
Ah, that's great. Friendship. And you can meet new friends at the event. I love, you know what? It's great. On a Friendship Friday, I love to hear it. What else did I want to ask you about? No, that was cool to see the write-up about the bottom nine. Were you telling me that Canada, DraftKings Canada, that arm took down the bets?
So I don't have access to a DraftKings Canada account, obviously, because we're in the U.S. here. But I got a message on Twitter and two DMs that the DraftKings Canada did take down the bottom of the ninth bets for a couple days. I believe they are back up now, but they did take it down a little bit. And I've seen some changing in the pricing in the market since we started talking about it a couple weeks ago. For instance, I was looking at Philly today, and it's getting shaded more and more toward the money line and further away from the run line. So I do believe that there have been some adjustments here. I still think there's a ton of value in specific situations. situations, but not as easy to find plays for me in the bottom of the nine in the last week or so as it was those first 2 weeks we talked about it.
No, that's tremendous. Okay. So, Mike, look, I'm terrified about tonight. I'm not doing shtick. I have nothing. Like, there's not this right now and tonight, all the momentum, all of the energy, all of the confidence has to be with the Edmonton Oilers. The better team is Florida. We talked about it earlier, 5-on-5. There's the you dig into the numbers, they're still fine. It's the specials that have completely let them down. We'll come back and talk about the actual number and the game and everything, but I just want to know, are you with me that you're nervous about it, or are you still confident?
I am confident they will win the series. I am nervous about tonight. We'll put it that way. But I will say, you know, I think the Panthers just did Canada a favor on Tuesday, right? They wanted to be able to go and close it out at the Oilers building so that Canada could actually see someone lift a Stanley Cup in the last 20 years. So Florida just trying to help Canada out by winning the Stanley Cup up in Edmonton so that they can see this trophy that they all love so much north of the border.
I wish I came up with that shtick. I couldn't, though. You believe that this Panthers team can lose tonight and go home with that pressure and win in Game 7?
Yeah, I do. It's hockey, man. And that's the beauty of hockey is that, yes, there's momentum from game to game, but you have such a shifts in momentum in these series. And tonight, the big one, and we'll talk about it when we get back from the break here, is going to be how these teams come out early. It seems like such a simple thing to say. Who scores the first goal is going to be huge. Just like turnovers are in football, the first goal is going to be massive tonight. And if there is a Game 7, the first goal is going to be massive there as well.
Probably not a good idea to give up a shorthanded goal if you're the Panthers.
That doesn't
start
the game.
not a great start for a great defensive team. We're coming back. Friendship is fixed. Mike Somich.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, VSiN.com. You can check out the articles that Mike was referencing. He's written over at VSiN.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by your state, betting tools, and betting guides. It's all there at VSiN.com. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher, of course, Friday with our buddy Mike Somich, host of The Handle, Saturdays and Sundays, noon to 3 Eastern time. And we're talking about Florida and Edmonton. Okay, so let's get into the handicap here. The idea, so right now, DraftKings, Mike, is showing Edmonton a $1.20 favorite and even money on Florida. So they, I think they were sitting like plus 105 yesterday. And we talked to Thomas Gable, as you know, and as you leveled us earlier, and he said they're betting the Panthers over at the Borgata. I think it's pretty simple. I think they have to go back and rely on what got them here. And that's just defense. And they have to be, look, you've been preaching it about this team. Stay out of the box. So obviously the penalties have killed them. Their lack of success on the power play has killed them. But I just think they have to clamp down defense. Like, if they win 1-0 tonight, that's the perfect scenario. It's not going to happen. But how do you see this one playing out?
It kind of feels like the under is more correlated to the Panthers here, doesn't it? Where if this game is lower scoring, if it's 3-2, 2-1, 3-1, those are all Florida-type scores. Edmonton wants to play 5-3 games, right? 6-3 games, something like that. I agree with you, Patrick. I think the defense has to step up, and specifically it's just taking away space. And that's the same problem that you have when you've got Edmonton on the power play, is that they've got more space, more room to operate for these big time stars, for guys like Connor McDavid, who are able to then create opportunities for themselves because they've got room to move. One thing that Florida did so well in game 2 and game 3 when they were coming down the wire here was be able to hem this Edmonton team into their own zone, force their forwards to come back and play defense. When they got the puck out, it wasn't rushing the puck out. It was trying to get to the red line to get the puck in and get a change. The last couple games, we haven't seen that same forecheck from Florida, and that's really opened up the middle of the ice for Edmonton, allow them to get speed through the neutral zone. McDavid in on rushes is a very scary thing. It also means that they have fresher legs when they're in the offensive zone. So it really, to me, goes back to, can Florida force this forecheck in Edmonton's zone and really wear down this Edmonton defense to be able to slow down their offense? That's the best defense for them, is forcing Edmonton to defend. The first goal in this game is also going to be massive, Patrick. If you go back, you look at game four, you look at game five, Florida was chasing the entire time. And because of that, you saw some of these defensive lapses. They were taking chances on the offensive side, which turned into goals for Edmonton because they were just out of position when they were trying to get back. We saw the early goal in game four. Right away, you're down 2-0, then 3-0. It was 2-0 and 3-1 in game three. I'm sorry, 2-0 and 3-1 in game four. It was 1-0 in game five, and then all of a sudden 3-0 in the second period. Florida can't chase tonight. They need to try and dictate the terms right out of the gate. The first 10 minutes is going to be wildly important. Generally, what we see in these spots is that the home team is going to have a huge push in the first 10 minutes. If Florida is able to weather that storm or even push back at some point, they can take control of this game early. I think that's their best chance to win. So it's all about how the Panthers come out here in the first period, in my mind, whether or not they're going to be able to really assert their will on Edmonton, or if Edmonton's going to be able to continue to move up and down the ice with speed and cause problems for Bobrovsky, who hasn't played terribly in the last two games. The quality of opportunity has gone way up for Edmonton. The one bad goal, I would say, was that McDavid goal where he scored from a bad angle. Other than that, he just got beat by better shots and good opportunities and good spots. He's not standing on his head, but he's not playing poorly either. So I want to see a nice, solid first period out of Florida here.
That's a great breakdown. And I totally – look, the first goal is so key because you could almost it's also, too, the answers on Tuesday night from Edmonton were just – again, they got the shorthanded goal, but then – as the Panthers kind of clawed their way back, and then boom, the Oilers would answer right away. You got to toss the game. Obviously, you have to toss Saturday and refocus here. But I will say, just the freight train that McDavid was on Tuesday was just insane.
He is the scariest person in the NHL to bet against, right? There's a Patrick Mahomesian level to Connor McDavid in his game when he plays that way, when he plays with that speed and he's healthy, that you're terrified every single time he's on the ice because he does things with the puck. His creativity with how he moves with and without the puck is just, it's otherworldly. If you watch the power play for Edmonton, just watch McDavid. He's basically Steph Curry out there. He never stops moving, and all of a sudden he's on the left side of the ice, then the right side of the ice. Then he's coming down the seam. They're setting up a pass to open him up so that he can move to the high slot, and he's looking for the Draisaitl one-timer all the time. You got Hyman who can finish, and a huge shot from Bouchard. It just becomes so dangerous when he has space, and Florida needs to limit his space. That's the key to slowing him down and making him look human. If he never gets the motor going, it's a lot harder for him to be able to make these moves and create his own space. So to me, this is all about how Florida tries to defend him, and it's going to be tough tonight because Florida doesn't get the last change, which means Edmonton is not going to have McDavid out there when Barkov starts. So every time there's a faceoff and Florida sends out Barkov, you're going to see the second line for Edmonton. Florida can try and get a switch as soon as possible, but it's going to be very hard to match up Barkov and McDavid consistently.
Okay. With everything the both of you just said, plays right into the only two bets in this game I wrote down earlier today. The first one, with Florida, with so much needed in this moment to get things back momentum-wise. And I know you shouldn't just bet things because a team needs it more, but Florida to score the first goal at minus 105 was a bet that made sense to me. Are you guys on that with me, or are you nervous because Bobrovsky has just been so leaky?
I defer, Mike. Go ahead.
I don't mind it at all, especially if you're looking at plus 100 on the Panthers, right? I mean, if the Panthers don't score the first goal, it is going to be very hard for them to win this hockey game. If they do score the first goal, they're, what, minus 180, minus 190 to win the game at that point? So I don't hate the idea of taking first goal because that price is so close to what the price is there. You also might want to look at first period money line, ties push. That's another bet that I think is worthwhile checking out because you may get, I'm guessing you're going to get somewhere in that same kind of plus 100 range, and that one you can push at 0-0. And so you kind of are betting specifically that early first period push that you're looking for in Florida. And you can still, if it's 0-0 after one, you can get that second period goal from Edmonton, not cost you the bet.
It's the same price.
Yeah, the first period right now is minus 105. I'm looking 105. You can probably find it even as well. And 1.5 goals, obviously, at minus 110. Go ahead, big guy.
All right, the other bet, with so much on the line tonight, and I get how hot Edmonton's been, but now there is a little bit of pressure on them, right? Can they keep it going? And Bobrovsky, despite things not going his way the last couple games, he's there for these types of games to shut teams down. And it's game six. It feels like there's a pucker factor here. Overtime, yes, plus 265.
Ooh, spicy.
I think it's interesting. I will say the one, these are teams where they both like to pull their goalie a little bit earlier, which means they really need to score. I would be looking at the puck lines one way or the other, because I do think you're going to have a lot of empty net time either way. I mean, if Florida's up, you're going to see it from Edmonton, considering they're ready to be eliminated. And if Edmonton's up, Florida will have no problem pulling their goalie with 2.5, 3 minutes left if it's a one-goal game. If it's a close game, if this is a tight game, I do think overtime is in play. I don't love betting that because I don't think you're ever getting the fair price. Mm-hmm. So I rarely will make that bet. I think overtime games like 4 or 5 to 1 generally is what the price I'm looking for. And I don't think I ever see that. I think it's generally in the threes. So that's my only knock on that one. Although like tie first period, I like that again is another one where if you do like these type of bets, I mean, I would be more interested in taking the shorter term here and playing a tie in that type of length versus the full game.
And it does feel like, right, it's either overtime or someone's going to cover the puck line because what you just mentioned with the pulling of the goalies. And I can get plus 230 on the Panthers minus 1.5.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons if we have a 2-goal game going into the third period, I'm going to play the in-game over. Because I believe that you're going to see a ton of pulled goalies. I think you're going to see a lot of opportunities for both teams because you're going to have, let's say Florida's down 3-1 going into the third. You're going to see Florida pinching at the defensive line. You're going to see opportunities for Edmonton the other way. And you're going to see 5-6 minutes of time with the goalie pulled if you don't get the goals that already push you over the total for Florida anyway. So if this game is 2 goals either way going into the third period, I'm going to take a third period over, in-game over, depending on how you want to play it there. Because I do think you're going to see 2, maybe 3 goals in the third period because of the way it sets up stylistically and because this is a closeout game for one team and a must-have for the other.
Now, I originally thought you were going to say you were going to come at it differently because it sounded like you thought there was going to be a game seven. And then I look at your notes. Even money's not good enough for you. You're taking the Panthers at plus 155 in regulation.
Ride or die, baby, Patrick. I bet them every single game in this series. I still think it's the right side. I have a smaller play today at plus 155. Because I've got a big play minus a game and a half plus 160. So I essentially have them plus 160 in this game already because I have a minus 1.5 games in the series. But I did follow up and place a small Panthers bet today. I still think they're the better team. I don't think Bobrovsky's been that bad. I think you can fix the defensive issues that you've had over the last 2 games. And this is a Florida team that was down 3-1 to the Bruins last year, who were an all-time great team and came back and won that series 4-3. They've handled adversity well the last 2 years. I think Florida can bounce back. And I just think they're better 5-on-5. They just got to stay out of the box and limit the space, and they are the better hockey team.
USA.
Okay, I'm back.
USA.
I said it. I said I need someone to pick me up, and Panthers in regulation has done it. I'm all in. We're going heavy tonight, boys. We're coming back with some baseball.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, become a VSIN Pro with the spring special into summer. 13 months, $199. You can sign up right now at VSIN.com/subscribe and use that promo code SHARP to unlock the deal. Again, all the great articles. We talked about Mike's, which is up there right now, the picks, the splits, the guides. We got our NFL guide coming out on June 27th. So make sure you go sign up and become a pro part of the family. VSIN.com/subscribe, promo code SHARP. Okay, we've got our family plays yet to come. I know Halterman's in the mix, the plug with some soccer, even Manny Davidson in the mix as well. But let's get to some baseball. Mike Somich joining us here on Sharp Money. Love talking to Somich. And you know when you see the notes, you're going to look down and see a lot of F5s from Mr. Somich. And you're attacking team totals in the first 5 here today.
Yeah, interesting card from here. Not something I play a ton. Generally, I'm playing unders first 5, or I'm playing a side first 5, maybe laying a half run, picking up a half run. Usually, if it's full game, I'm playing overs. But I saw some starting pitchers I wanted to target against specific lineups today, and that took me to first 5 team total overs. One of them, I think, is kind of wildly mispriced here. You've got the Nationals taking on the Rockies tonight. Hudson on the mound for the Rockies. Nationals have actually been playing better baseball. I don't think a lot of people realize they're only 2 games under 500 at this point. They're 19-19 away from home. And the total in this game is 11. So let's just do some math here. The total is 11. Nationals are favored in the game, so you'd expect a 6-5 final. Well, the Nationals team total is only 2.5 in the first five. That is way too low for me. I thought I made this one closer to like 3.25. Right now, you can get over 2.5 for the Nationals, -130. I like it quite a bit here. It's an offense that's started to wake up for the Nats. You're hitting in an obviously hitter-friendly ballpark up there in Coors Field. And the number being offered doesn't even align with what the total should be. It should be 3 to maybe even 3.5 here, juiced toward the over for the first five. So happy to take the over Nats, 2.5, first five, -130.
Love that. We'll go with Phillies, and they're hosting the Snakes, and you like the Phillies team total over 2.5 here.
I do, and this is I was looking at game possibly for this one, but I don't want to take the team total over for a home team in a full game because of the fact they may not bat there in the bottom of the ninth. So I took Philly's first five here, total sitting at 2.5 right now, evenly juiced both sides. Jordan Montgomery on the hill for Arizona. He's not very good. He's got a 6 ERA, 4 of his last 6 starts. He's allowed at least 3 runs or more to the opposing offense. And this is a Phillies team that can hit the baseball, especially there in Philadelphia. Another one where when you look at the total as well, it doesn't really line up for me that we're seeing this only at 2.5. The game total there is 9.5. So the first half total is sitting at 5. Yet you're not seeing the juice to the over. I think you should see here. I thought this should be 2.5, but juice to the over around -130, -140. So happy to take advantage of the Phils first five team total over 2.5 here.
I know, Dustin, you have a play on this one. I think I was a little surprised when I was looking at the board this morning for this game in particular that the Phillies were -130 this morning when I woke up. It felt like it was a little short. Am I missing something?
Well, Jordan Montgomery's been really bad. Phillies kill left-handed pitching. They have the fourth best OPS. But to your point, Taijuan Walker stinks. He's got, which is why I'm on the game over, but I have a question for Mike. Me and Mike are flip-flopping. A week ago, there was a game, I think, involving the Angels, where I went Angels team total. He went game over, and it worked out for him. Now we're opposite. He's on a team total, but I'm on the game over here. Hopefully it works out for both of us because I think 9.5 is too low because Montgomery has been getting crushed. He does not look right. If you look at what he's done, the market seems to think there's a potential bounce back with him, but his last start was against the White Sox. We can't look into him having any success. When he faces real lineups, he gets absolutely beat up. And Taijuan Walker should not even be in this Phillies rotation anymore. They have better options than him that are being forced to the bullpen because Taijuan Walker is awful, just making a lot of money.
Yeah, I didn't team total. Play not,
okay, sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm sorry. I was looking at the full game over two here, Dustin. I just decided to not go with that route because of the Diamondbacks. I think they're 15th or 16th batting against righties. Yeah. They're one of the best teams against lefties, but struggle a little more against righties. And so I tried to basically just insulate myself with only the matchup that I have big time confidence in, and that is the Phillies can hit Jordan Montgomery here. Yeah. So that's why I went with the team total versus the full game, but I don't hate the full game over either. Walker's been atrocious for this Phillies team, and Arizona can hit the baseball. Arizona also not a great bullpen, so it's the other reason why I looked at that Phillies team total over. But again, I lose the at bat, so I wanted to go just first five versus the full game.
I just bet both of them. Let's go. Next up, Dodgers first five team total Dodgers over 2.5 even money.
Yeah, we're going right back to the well with these team total overs. It's the last game of the night here for the Dodgers and the Angels taking each other. And this is just playing against Patrick Sandoval, who I pitcher I'm happy to go against. He's a lefty, does not pitch well. I mean, I guess it's the best way you could put it. He's got a 5.24 ERA. This Dodgers lineup hits lefties very well. Last two games, he's given up 8 earned in both those in those two starts. He gave up 8 earned alone to Cleveland, 5 back. Just someone I'm happy to take advantage of. And again, this is a Dodgers team that can absolutely hit the baseball. I'm surprised we're sitting at +100 here at over 2.5. This is another one where I thought the juice should be -125, -130. And so when I see these situations where it's 20, 30 cents off what I expect, I'm generally going to bet it. And that's the case here for the Dodgers first five team total over 2.5.
Go ahead, Big Guy.
Yeah. So Mike, I've been doing this thing, the no win parlay, taking 3 to 4 pitchers that I don't think are going to get a win because there's just a lot that has to go right for a pitcher to be the winning pitcher of record. 5 innings, you have to leave with the lead. And as you just mentioned with bullpens, the bullpen has to then hold the lead. I use Sandoval in this as the last leg of a 3-legger, pays +104 today. Trevor Rogers, Miami, he's awful. Mm-hmm. They've lost a bunch of his starts in a row. Oakland's Joey Estes, and then Sandoval here on the back end. Three of them pays plus 104. Do you think I'm crazy for this new strategy?
No, I don't. The only one I'd be a little concerned about would be the Athletics, but I do like the Twins, obviously much more than them. Paddock, although, hasn't been wonderful. I would be interested what it pays for the unders outs with those same pitchers, and if that might be a better way to attack it versus just a no win. I like your idea of no win because you're in a situation there where you do have to qualify for the win, right? But the under out's probably going to pay better, and you're generally going to not get through five anyway in those situations that you're looking at. And usually those under outs are going to be 15 and a half,
yeah,
or 15.5, 16.5.
You know what? You're right, because my argument is going to be, well, a lot of times when I look at the outs recorded, the number's not a number I want. It's either too low for me to go under or too high for me to go over. They never set it at like that juicy number that I'm looking for. But since I'm betting against these pitchers who are big underdogs, theoretically, it should be around what you just said.
Yeah, you should be able to get a better price. I would think that they would pay more if you parlayed under outs than if you parlayed no win in those situations.
You're on Milwaukee tonight in San Diego at a plus price.
Yeah, it's another one where I'm surprised by the price. You got Ray on the mound for Milwaukee, Cease on the mound for San Diego. Milwaukee's been the better team so far this year. San Diego clearly more talented, but just not quite figured it out. And we're staring here at a plus 136 price on Milwaukee. So I'm happy to take the dog, who I think is right now playing better baseball with the better pitcher on the mound. So we'll go Brewers here plus 136 tonight.
Okay. Let's mix in a family vid here, because then we can, why don't we do the plug if he's prepared there, big guy. We'll get the soccer plays out of the way. We'll come back with Halterman and Manny on the hockey. Go ahead.
Andy, the plug at Andrew Passaro on Twitter /X, also the Plus Money podcast. He's all over soccer, Copa, the Euros, whatever else is in between. Here he is with his Sharp Money family play for today.
Sharp Money family play.
What is up, Sharp Money? We got Euros. We got Copa America. We got picks. We're jumping to Turkey. They're taking on Portugal, and I got Portugal in over 2.5 the game, plus 120. However, Turkey impressed me a lot. You want to take Portugal and both teams to score, plus 195? I wouldn't say no to that. Jumping to the Copa. We're going to Ecuador, Venezuela. I'm hot on this Ecuadorian team. I got Ecuador money line, minus 120. Ecuador in over 1.5 at plus 145. Really interesting value. Ecuador team total over 1.5, plus 125. I love that a lot. Mexico, Jamaica. And I am not hot on Mexico. I got Jamaica plus 500 money line. It's a really interesting number. May not take that. I might take Jamaica plus half a goal at plus 120. I think Jamaica advanced from this group. Switzerland and Germany back in the Euros. Two teams at the top of their group. They'll both go on. But I like over 2.5 goals in this game at minus 128. Germany and over 1.5 at minus 110 is interesting. Uruguay should absolutely paste Panama. And the over 3.5 is plus 215. Doesn't make sense to me. You can get the over 2.5 minus 128.
The plug is on fire. He can't get enough.
It's all on the website. I know it was hard to follow.
Yeah, it's hard to follow. You can go over to VSiN.com/bets and get all the soccer plays from the plug.
Also, Mike, what you just said, instead of going with the way I was doing, not to record a win. Now we'll see how this works out over a few bets. It pays plus 433 under outs recorded on all three of those pitchers.
Yeah. I would go that direction if you're trying to fade pitchers, just because of the 4-1 price versus the lower price. Although your bet is more likely to win, obviously, at the current pricing.
Sure, sure.
But you know what I liked about it? The back and forth, the friendship that was shown, the respect that was shown between the two of you. I know Mike likes the idea that you're digging, trying to find angles. So that was nice. We got good vibes here, boys. If the Panthers lose tonight, I may never join a group chat ever again in my life. We're coming back.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money on a Friday. Of course, that means Samich joins us. I'm Patrick Maher, Dustin Sweetelson. Samich has got the boys' weekend coming up. That's a tremendous job. It's hard at our age, logistically, to kind of get everybody organized. especially a big group on a trip like this, but you got your boys, a bunch of you going out to Vegas this weekend. That's a good job by you.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. I was telling you, though, I am a little bit worried to see how we're going to be able to handle this just from a physicality perspective. I don't know if you guys remember the last time I went hard, I was actually on Sharp Money the next day. And it was the frog voice, Mike, after playing with UAB basketball men's coaching staff.
Yes.
Playing craps until like 3 a.m. That's going to be me both nights this weekend. So we'll see how we're able to fight through it.
You got to hydrate. It's going to be a scorcher. All right, big guy. So here's what we'll do. We'll start with Manny and we'll all get a take on his hockey play tonight. Of course, Manny Davison, our buddy. And then we've got Halterman as well. Before we get out, we'll close some tabs and send Mike on his way to Vegas, which is interesting because he generally flies to Vegas to do his show. Now he's flying to Vegas to get crunk. Yeah. Go ahead, big guy.
All right. So Manny Davison, he was the leader of our Sharp Money Survivor contest for a very long time up until last week. And he's really sharp when it comes to the puck. And you can find him on Twitter at humpday_hockey. And here he is with another Sharp Money family play.
All right, boys. Pop quiz. What did Chris Knobloch and Mike Tomlin have in common? I'll wait. There's only one correct answer. I mean, this guy's a winner. Never had a losing season. Since Knobloch has taken over as head coach in November, this team has lost 3 games in a row, 3 separate times. Well, 4 if you include games 1 through 3 of this series. But how did they respond in those first 3 instances? Larry, can you throw it up there? Thank you. He took over around here, 3-game losing streak, followed by a 8-game win streak, followed promptly by a 3-game losing streak, followed by a 16-game winning streak. Then about a month later, they had a 3-game losing streak, followed by a 5-game winning streak. I'm betting it at the current series price, Edmonton to win the cup at plus 275. And for tonight's game, I'm playing Bobrovsky, over 2.5 goals allowed at minus 135. He's allowed 3 or more in the last 3. And it's like these guys switch jerseys or something.
Okay, so he's got series price on Edmonton, and then he's got Bob giving up more than 2.5 tonight, Zomich. Not great for our direction, but that's Manny.
I mean, let's be honest. The guy's rocking an Oilers jersey. Were we really expecting him to pick the Panthers?
It's a tough look when he wants to be a part of the family, though, and going against the family.
And he lives in Arizona. I mean,
yeah,
it all doesn't add
up. Also got to give him – I want to know, Manny, you got to send in – he was ripping some wax there. I'm not sure if you saw on the table next to him. There's a bunch of hockey cards that he was busting open. I want to know what he's ripping, what he's looking for.
He's doing a lot
Another
of
Another way to gamble, baby.
Another way to get down the freak in the desert, Manny Davison. All right, next up, our buddy Aaron Halterman, big guy.
Yeah, a member of the family, by the way. A member of the Money family. One of the first branches, right behind Samich. And, you know, I'm from the Dudes Who Bet Sports podcast, also RacingDudes.com. And here he is with a hockey Sharp Money family play.
What's up, Sharp Money? Back to close out a week on a Friday. All right. It's all about the family today. This is a family matter today. Florida Panthers, even money tonight. That's my best bet of the day. It's all about solidarity. We're not going to do it if we're separate. We've got to be together. Patrick, Samich, Dustin. You guys got to bring it. We got to be together tonight. We got to get the Panthers home. Look, I got my red on for the Panthers. I'm showing it, guys. I'm with y'all. But look, they got to play better. They got to quit doing stupid things. That's what it's all about, to be serious. They've got to stay out of the penalty box. They can't give up shorthanded goals. I think if they can keep from doing those kind of stupid things, limit their penalties, they're going to win this game tonight. I really believe it. I also think it is a little bit easier, believe it or not, to win that Stanley Cup, that clinching game at home. Not as many distractions. They can just go play their game. They also play a style of game, that travels really well. I'm with them. We got to do it, though. It's total panic if we don't do it tonight. So Florida Panthers at even money. Let's not panic, and let's get this one done tonight.
See, he is – there's nobody – and, Mike, you've known him for a long time, RacingDudes.com. He's just reliable, consistent mood. He's always going to be there for the boys, and he showed out in the video right there.
Yeah, he actually just texted me as well, Patrick. He said he likes the Panthers so much. He said he likes the Panthers so much tonight. He's just going to lay the -110.
110. Oh, the fact that people now in Sharp Money Survivor, when they send in their plays and it's a 110, they say 110, is that's probably what warms my heart the most. But he's a ride or die, big guy. That's Halterman. He's all in.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Every Wednesday. Day is a Wednesday with the family on Sharp Money. The Panthers are getting it done simply because if they don't get it done tonight, they're not getting it done in Game 7. I don't understand where Mike's confidence comes from that they're going to find a way to win this series, even if they somehow lose tonight.
That would the amount of pressure that they're going to feel on their home ice in Game 7, Samich, is going to be wild.
If it goes to Game 7, I'll still be in Las Vegas Monday evening. Patrick, you've got to fly out to Vegas. We're going to do a live watch party on VSiN with the three of us watching Game 7 so they can see how hard we celebrate when the Panthers come through for us, baby.
I'll be there. But only if we can go to Club XS.
Well, the places I like to go celebrate at don't let you to take pictures or video.
Yeah. Hi, Poppy. we know. Big guy. Let's close some tabs. Let's have a little fun on the way out. We've done a lot of sports betting and friendship.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, one thing I love about our friend Mike Samich is he got the memo. He wore black today because it's an Edmonton funeral later tonight. Everyone on the show wearing black. All right. Samich, hate to be this guy, but you are a Yeah Buck guy, so I do like doing this to you. You said Canada wanted to see a cup get hoisted there. Technically, 2020, the bubble, there was a cup hoisted in Edmonton. Then
that's fair. I'll give you that one.
Also, your event, you
persnickety.
You said this horse racing event you're doing in Chicago that you're hosting, FHC seats available. What was it? And whatever seats,
NHC and BCBC.
Oh, BBC Uh-oh. Seats. I got you. My mom loves BBC. It's just weird that she married my dad. Talking about the TV network. I did text with our friend Josh Applebaum. Applebaum did not go to the Boston parade today. The quote was, too hot and too old. Also, the temperature is high today. Cosplay. Wanted to look it up. This is getting weird. Cosplay is costume play, and it's an activity and performance art in which the participants wear costumes and fashion accessories to represent a specific character. You asked, Patrick, what are furries? Furries are fans of anthropomorphic animals. That's animals with human characteristics, like Mickey Mouse, Sonic the Hedgehog, and mascots for sports teams. And then those people do stuff with the costumes.
Phenomenal furry episode in the Entourage.
Yes.
I think it was season Turtle. 5, maybe something like that. Yeah, but very good furry episode in Entourage. It's Patrick, you should go check that one out.
Those people are losers.
That's the best show ever
now,
created.
Now, you heard us talking. No, I'm talking about the furries.
Oh.
You heard us talking about the cosplay earlier, Samich. I had no clue. Like, did you know what it was?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like it's a big thing at Comic-Con where people dress up as their, like, favorite superhero, things like
Star
that.
Star Wars.
Yeah. It's normal.
There's a better chance of me. There's a better chance of me showing up on Monday in Vegas than me going to a Comic-Con. So whatever the hell.
Yeah, well, I mean,
come on.
That's pretty obvious when you called it, what was it, Pokeman instead of Pokemon?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not up on Pokeman. And by the way, I would just like to say this. If you heard Dustin start BBC and didn't know where that joke was going, you have not watched one episode of this dumb show, okay? Because his eyes light up. It's all shtick, but we all knew where it was headed, and he's still, look at him, he's laughing, he loves it, he can't get enough.
I like English television, Patrick. I'm a big fan. Peaky Blinders, one of my favorite shows of all time.
Yes, I'm sure it is. Anything else in tabs?
We're talking about Caleb Williams being the most talented quarterback in our lifetime for the Bears. You talk about quarterbacks, you talk about Sid Luckman. Champion in 1940, 41, 43, and 46. It goes Luckman, Caleb Williams, Rex Grossman, three greatest quarterbacks in Bears history.
Oh, incorrect. Jay Cutler is the most talented person to play quarterback for the Bears in my lifetime.
He stinks.
Smoking Jay
Cutler.
Cutler.
We should try to get Sid Luckman to do a Sharp Money Survivor one week.
I think he's just trying to do Life Survivor right now, bro.
I know that was good. There's no chance Sid Luckman, dude, he's playing in the 40s, bro.
Yeah, he's dead. 1998. Get my DeLorean and get Sid Luckman involved.
Oh, fellas, who's going to be the first to send the text to the group as the game approaches? I'm nervous. I don't. You guys are more confident than I am. Mike Somich, enjoy your weekend. Thank you. The big guy, BBC. You're such an idiot. We'll see you on Monday. Oh, gosh.